Hi, this is Eric Legata, features reporter with the Columbus Dispatch. Today I'm talking with Chuck Lamb, who is better known as the Dead Body Guy. Chuck has taken roles as dead bodies in about 11 movies and television shows over the past 12 years, and he's looking to retire, so we're going to talk to him and have him reflect on his career. I'm really curious to learn more about you as the Dead Body Guy. So can you, I guess, you know, how did that all come about? Like, you know, what's the background of that, of how you decided to do that?
Well, it's funny. Me and my wife were, Tanya, we were big Law and Order fans, and we'd watch Law and Order every single day. And every Law and Order of the real old ones, you know, he had Jerry Orbach was Lenny, and I think it was Benjamin Bratt was the other guy. And every Law and Order, they would have a scene at the very beginning where they showed the dead person, and Lenny would always say some smart-ass remark right on top of him. And I told Tanya one day, I said, you know, I'd like to just see my name on a TV show, not really just Law and Order, but any TV show or movie, just to see my name in the credits one time. You know, just to say I did it. You know, like a bucket list thing. And so we started watching Law and Order, and after we'd seen it, we went to bed, woke up, and during that night, I dreamed that Jerry Orbach was talking above me, you know, and I'm looking up at him. And I told my wife, and I said, you're not going to believe this. Is this funny or not? I said, I can play dead. I said, and every TV show just about in the world needs a dead body sooner or later. And I said, I can be Dead Body Guy. And she started laughing. She goes, that's hilarious. And I thought I fit it just right. I mean, I'm pale, I'm bald, I got bags under my eyes. I kind of look like I'm The Walking Dead anyway, you know? So we went online. I did websites for a living anyway, HTML, you know, and built web pages for people. I actually did Dick Vitale. You remember Dick Vitale, the sportscaster?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did his website.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, right when websites were, you know, really coming into their own. So I went and looked for the name, deadbodyguy.com, and it was open. It took me maybe 4 hours, 5 hours to build the website. And I told Tanya, I said, well, why don't we go around the house and do different funny dead poses? So we did like six of them or whatever and just made the website. And less than 6 weeks later, you know how stuff goes out viral. Back then it was MySpace instead of Facebook. A reporter from the New York Times had seen it, named Chris Mogg, and he came to the house, stayed for 2 days, and the next thing I know, I'm on the front page of the national section of the New York Times. And once that hit, it was just crazy. I mean, it was just because, you know, everybody in the whole world reads the New York Times.
Yeah, and when was this? Do you remember, like, kind of...
Yeah,
you know,
we made the site in December 2005, and mid-January, or the 1st of February, it came out in the New York Times.
Oh, okay.
And that's when the phone started ringing off the hook. I mean, it just, the Today Show and, you know, CBS and CNN and VH1. And I never thought it was going to be this crazy. You know what I mean? I just wanted to get lucky and maybe one celebrity go, hey, dude, come on, you can be my dead body in this. Like Bruce Willis would get a hold of me or something and say, hey, yeah, I'll give you 2 seconds in my film or whatever. You know,
yeah.
I didn't know I was going to do 24 different TV shows and movies and, you know, 400 radio interviews and all that.
Yeah.
And God knows what could have happened if I hadn't got hurt. I mean, I got hurt in 2009. After that, you know, I turned a lot of stuff down. I turned down America's Got Talent. They wanted me to come in and be like a joke act, and then The Last Comic Standing, Conan O'Brien, and stuff like that. After I got hurt, it hurt a lot. I mean, I don't know. I could have done a lot more and just didn't. We went to the Oscars in 2006. We got invited.
Oh, cool.
By a Russian film crew. They took us out there, and I got to play dead, you know, and we didn't get to go inside while the Academy Awards were going on, but on the outside of the Kodak Theater, there's a huge, like a press junket thing, you know, where they sit in bleachers and talk to different celebrities as they go down the red carpet, and we got to go do that, and I got to play dead in front of all the Oscar statues and stuff, and it was really cool. We had a good thing going for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. So going back to 2005, then I guess, when you had this idea, what made you think? I guess you kind of touched on this, but what made you think you'd make a good dead body? I guess
just my looks, mm-hmm. The way God made me, really. I mean, you can't get much paler than me, I got to tell you. And then, like I said, I've always had these bags under my eyes, and I never had any tattoos. So, you know, I could be anything they wanted. I could be a gangster. I could be a cowboy. You know, anything they need. I just thought I'd look good playing dead.
Yeah.
Not much makeup needed.
Didn't really have to have any prior acting experience either, I'm sure.
Exactly. You know, Kevin Costner's very first role
was
a dead body.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, and I think was it the China Syndrome? Is that not right? Or was it Chinatown? Something China.
Oh, okay.
Was Kevin Costner's very first role.
When was your first role then?
My first role came, well, I mean, not counting being on Today's Show and CNN and all the talk shows, my first actual role was on the WB's program What I Like About You with Jenny Garth and Amanda Bynes. And it was their very last show. It was they were canceled, and it was their season finale, actually the series finale, and they had been planning on getting married, Jenny Garth and the firefighter, for like the whole show. You know, they'd been waiting, trying to get married, and they were finally getting married, and I was supposed to be like a Easter egg in the church where I'm laying there dead because I've been waiting for them to get married for so long.
Oh, that's funny.
That was my first one. And then the second one was a movie called Stiffs with Danny Aiello and Leslie Ann Warren. We filmed it in Boston. And that's actually the picture I sent you was me being zipped up in the body bag. What happened was I died of a heart attack, and they zipped me up in the body bag, and then they're carrying me down a flight of steps, and they dropped me.
Oh, interesting. What was that like to play? Was that kind of nerve-wracking, being zipped up in a body bag? Or
no, it was the first time we did it. See, a lot of people don't know filmmaking. I've learned so much that you wouldn't even think of. Filmmaking is a lot of sitting. I mean, to do that 7 seconds I had in that movie, I sat there probably 12 hours. You know, for other shots and to sit up and makeup and all this, and we did that one shot. Of seconds to shot for at least 8 times.
Oh.
Because they want to make sure they get, you know, just the right everything. And I learned on that movie that, well, really on What I Like About You, that there's a protocol also when you go out there. What I do is called a featured extra, which is just, you know, some nobody in the film, but people are going to see it. You know what I mean? You're going to be noticed. Instead of just like the back of your head sitting at a table or something. So the very first TV show I did, the guy goes, "Is this your first time out here?" And I went, yeah, you know, because he knew that I'd got the role from TV and stuff. And he goes, "Well, let me tell you some things. You're not allowed to go up and talk to any star actor. You know, you go sit in your own area, and if they come talk to you, good. But, you know, no pictures, no autographs, you know, stuff like that."
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a... I guess it's protocol that you know, low-level actors like me have to go through.
Okay, yeah. How many... So you've been doing this for about 12 years. Do you know, like, how many roles you've had as dead
bodies?
Yeah,
I've been in 20... Well, I'll be on To Tell the Truth August the 5th. You know, the new game show with Anthony Anderson?
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that. I heard you had an upcoming appearance on that.
Yep, I'll be on it August 5th, Sunday night, 10 o'clock. That'll be my 25th TV appearance.
Okay. And I think the concept is that of that show is that celebrities have to guess who's telling the truth and who's lying, I think? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I get on there, and they'll say a thing saying, "Hi, it's me and two other guys."
Mm-hmm.
And it'll say, "Hi, I'm Chuck Lamb, and I'm a professional dead body." And then it, you know, tells a little story. And then they get to ask questions, and I have to tell the truth, but the other two guys try to fool them into thinking that they're me.
Oh, okay, I see. Okay, so they got to figure out who the real dead body guy is.
Right.
Okay.
By asking questions.
Okay.
And my night, there was Denise Richards, Kyle Penn from Harold and Kumar, Ken Norton, I think he played some cop show, and Teresa, the Long Island Median, was there. They were the four celebrities that will be on my episode.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye out on that.
It was a blast. Yeah. It was fun. But then again, it was a lot of sitting. And the way I got hurt, Eric, the worst thing that hurts me the most is sitting straight up and down in a chair.
Oh.
For some reason, my back, you know, herniates it crushes itself or whatever. But it was agonizing sitting there waiting until it was my turn. And when I got back from that one, I told Tanya, I said, you know what, I just don't think I can do this anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All that, the flight out, just like killed me. And as soon as I was done, I went straight back to my hotel. I couldn't go, you know, see the sights or, you know, visit some people I know out there or anything, because it just, you know, the sitting hurt so bad.
Oh, yeah.
So I told her, and she agreed. You know, I've had it, this has made my life wonderful. I mean, it's a dream come true to me. And I'm hoping that somebody else will want it and keep the legacy going. At least that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, and I saw that too, that you kind of want to, on your website, you said you want to kind of pass on the torch to the next person. Do you,
yeah.
Is there anyone interested that you know of? Has anyone expressed interest?
I've already had two or three people get a hold of me. And I'm just trying to figure out, well, one, I'd like to sell it instead of just give it away, to be honest. But yeah, as soon as the right, I'll know the right guy when I talk to him. You know what I mean? Because it meant a lot to me. It fulfilled a dream. And I just hope somebody gets it that's going to have as much fun with it as I did and, you know, can fulfill somebody else's dream. I don't want a company to buy it just because it gets a lot of hits, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And why is this something that's important for you to pass on?
Well, it meant so much to me when it happened to me. It like I said, I was hoping maybe just one B movie that I could tell all my kids, now when that goes, stop it and you can see your dad's name. But, you know, it turned out to be so much more. You know, I just thought I'd like to see it at least continue. You know, somebody that makes somebody laugh or have a good, you know, I don't, you caught me where I'm speechless for once in my life. It would just mean more, I guess, if the person that takes it over, you know, like it fulfills it like it did me. I know that doesn't sound, I'm not putting it in good words.
But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of going back then to when you did first get your start, it sounds like you didn't really have, did you have to do much marketing to kind of, you know, get yourself out there and gain recognition, or did success
oh my
just kind
gosh,
of find
no.
you?
No, no, man. They just, it started popping up everywhere. I've been in Penthouse Magazine, Eric. I mean, what, who would think they'd want to see a dead body in Penthouse Magazine? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in Business Insider, Financial Times, you know? It's just almost every magazine you could think of. I've been in the National Enquirer like four times, the National Examiner a couple times. It was just, they just think it was so kooky. And a lot of times when people call me, they think that I'm some nutbag that loves death and stuff like that. But then when they start talking to me, they realize it was just, dead body guy was just a way to achieve, you know, making a goal happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, Conan O'Brien's, they wanted me on that show, and I started talking to the producer, and I said, now, I watch Conan O'Brien, you know, every once in a while. I said, is he going to rip me apart like he does, you know, anybody that has something different on his show? And the guy goes, well, I hope you got to be, you know, you got to be thick-skinned. And I said, well, I don't want to do your show.
That's
I said,
funny.
Thank you, but no thank you.
And you mentioned that you did not expect to have all of this media attention that you've kind of gained over the years. What was that like for you to have all that attention?
Oh, my God, it was crazy. It was nuts. When the New York Times article hit, at one time, I had the Today Show on my home phone. I had CBS Early Morning on my home phone on the had to hold. And somehow they got my cell phone. ABC Early Morning got my cell phone number. And I literally had them all three on my phones at the same time, trying to be the first person to get me on their show after it hit the New York Times article, because they're so competitive. It was crazy. So NBC offered me a part in the TV show. Plus they called first, and I liked the Today Show best. So I did the Today Show, and I told the other two people on the line, CBS and ABC, I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to do the Today Show first. They asked me first. And then CBS said, well, when you're done, can we have you next? Can we have a limo waiting for you after you do the Today Show? Will you run over and do CBS Early Morning? And I went, yeah, sure, no problem. Well, ABC, then I tell them what I was doing, and they said, nope, we're not going to be number three at nothing. You know, we're not interested in you. And I went, okay, cool. So while I'm going to the airport the next morning, ABC had sent a film crew to Columbus Airport and was waiting on me to get on a plane with a camera crew, and they wanted me to do an interview so they could send it back to Hollywood real fast and get it on the air before I was on the Today Show.
Oh my goodness. What did you
Dude,
do?
And I'm not kidding you. That's how competitive they are.
And what did
and
you
I
do?
Told
how
him,
did
I
you
said, no, it? I said, I know what you're going to do. The guy goes, no, just give me the interview. He goes, and I promise we won't put it on until after you're on the Today Show. And I went, no. I said, I can't trust you, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
they put me in the La Parc Meridian Hotel in New York City, the Today Show did, under an assumed name, because they thought you know, they didn't want anybody to get to it before they got it.
Wow. That,
my name
that is,
was
that's
Sarah
cutthroat.
Hughes in New York City. Yeah, I was Sarah Hughes.
That's cutthroat. That's funny.
It is, dude. They are. Yeah. But they were great. Today's show was great to me. I was on it 3 times.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, in 1 year. That's pretty good. Just for a dead guy.
Yeah. And what do you think it is about your story that's so appealing? Why are so many people interested in it? Is it just the quirkiness or the unusualness of it? Or?
Yeah, I think it is. At first I had a lot of people. I was keeping a daily blog, you know, for the first 6 weeks until, you know, the New York Times article came out. And I think a lot of people were saying, you know what, good for him. You know, try, you know, get your dream. Do what you want to do. You know, and I had a ton of people rooting for me. And I think it's like if you train for a marathon and then you go run the marathon, how good people feel for you. It was kind of like that, you know. It was one little stupid dream of having my name in a credit, but just to see somebody achieve something they're asking, you know, I think makes people feel good.
Yeah. That definitely makes sense. And I know that you're kind of known around the world. Is there like a country that you would say you're the most famous in, would you say?
Yeah, believe it or not, Indonesia. I get a lot of, I don't know why, I get a lot of hits from Indonesia, and I get a lot from Argentina, from my, you know, I got web stats, and for some reason I get a whole bunch from Indonesia, Japan, and Argentina.
Interesting. Huh.
Of course, now, right after it hit big on the New York Times for, let's see, that was February of 2006, by May of 2006, I was in probably every British newspaper you could ever hear of, even little bitty ones.
Oh.
And it would hit really big over in England for a while. And, oh, my gosh, I had people sending me copies of newspapers from China and magazines from Korea. And I had probably three plastic totes full of, you know, just newspapers and stuff people had sent me. But when I moved, I couldn't bring all of it. So I dished it out to anybody that would take it.
Yeah. So how many dead bodies have you played then in the last 12 or so years?
Actually, dead bodies, probably 11.
11? Okay.
Yeah.
And you've had other roles as well, or?
Well, no, I die in everything I've ever done.
Oh, okay.
The other 14 or so would be talk shows.
Oh, know? Okay. Gotcha.
And then some of them, I mean, actually it was more than that if you count, like, Discovery Channel did a 30-minute article on me. I take that back. I was guest host on Starz Comedy Channel, and I didn't die. Well, I mean, I did die, but it was little vignettes. You know, they were playing a double feature of Weekend at Bernie's and Weekend at Bernie's 2, and I did like 10 little vignettes for them. But yeah, I died in every one of the vignettes, so I guess I did die on all of them.
So how many times do you think you've quote unquote died since you started doing this?
Oh my God! Magazine articles and stuff. Oh, probably 200.
Wow.
Easy. I've had film crews come to my house from Russia, Germany, England, and they've just come and, you know, we do stuff outside.
Oh, okay. How about just on the screen then, like in TV and movies? How many times have you died?
11.
11. Oh, okay, 11. So what tips do you have? What does somebody need to do to realistically portray a dead body, or how do you prepare for such a role?
Relax is the main thing. Just relax. Get your breathing down. Get you into a zone. The main thing is just don't let it overwhelm you, because you have to remember, while you're supposed to be laying there totally still, there's people running behind you, there's a guy clicking a soundboard, there's a big light in your eyes, sometimes the guy's within 4 inches of your face, you know, with a camera, and, you know, there's people running around you everywhere. It's a hectic thing to watch a movie getting made or a TV show, but your main thing is just sit back, relax, and have a lot of patience, because it takes a good 8 hours to do anything in a movie. I swear, I mean, anything.
Yeah. Do you spend a lot of time, like, getting makeup and stuff, too, to look more convincing?
I've been in makeup for, I did the movie Vacancy. I was in makeup there for probably 3 hours, just for, because I got slashed on my throat and my head, and it was, I bet you don't see it, 2 seconds. You know what I just remembered, Eric? I did a movie since I've been down here. It was called Epiphany. It should be out next year, and I didn't die.
Oh.
I was a poker player.
Oh, okay. And that's the only time you've never died in a movie?
It just hit me because it hadn't come out yet.
What role do you play in that movie?
I'm just a poker player.
Oh, okay. And when do you know when that comes out?
Should be early next year.
Oh, okay.
It's on my IMDb if you check it up.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to look that up. And kind of curious to learn more about some of the dead bodies you have played throughout your career then. Are there any, like, favorite roles that you've had or any, like, fun ways, if dying could be fun, that you've died?
Let's see, some of my favorite deads was, Stiff's was fun because that was my first major motion picture. I just thought, you know, because you learn so much. And the guy I hung out with there, his name was John Polito. He passed away a couple years ago, but he was in, like, Goodfellas. And, you know, if you see him, you'd know him from gangster movies. And he was such a good guy. Let's see, some of my favorite deads. Well, I was on TV show The Jury. It was a pilot for ABC, and I got strangled there. Let's see, good deads. The Mitchell Tapes, I did it. I got eaten by a ghost there, or attacked by, like, a ghost. That was pretty fun because it was a shocker. I'm talking, and then all of a sudden the camera I'm holding drops, and then it's like all of a sudden then you see my dead face. So it's one of those jump moments, you know what I mean, where they try to scare you in a movie.
Yeah, okay. Huh. That was probably fun to do.
Yeah. I got thrown off a boat one time and washed up on the shore with kelp and stuff all over me. The Book of the Dead. Now that's the one where I sent you and I got all the guts coming out of me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that was, oh my God, I had blood everywhere. I had blood in places you don't want blood. That was a real bloody one. I don't know if I ever even, I think it came out on DVD.
And have you ever gotten any, like, any kind of awards or recognition for doing this?
I have, as a matter of fact. In the first year when Dead Body Guy was, like, everywhere, the L.A. Indies, it's the L.A. Independent Filmmakers Association gave me an award. They flew me out to California and gave me an award for a promotion that year. And I've still got it. I got it hanging up on my my wall now.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And I got to fly out there, and Clint Eastwood's daughter was at that one. And her dad, Clint Eastwood, was there at the award show. And I got to go up and make a minute and a half speech. And they thought I had done the best promoting of any actor on the independent film scene that year.
Yeah. That's cool, yeah.
It's on my IMDb, too. That was cool. So it had to have been a real live award.
Yeah.
Or IMDb won't let you put it on there.
There you go. That's great. And so now that you've done this for a while, you're looking to retire from it, you know, looking back at your career, you know, what has this all meant to you, or what have you enjoyed about this, doing this for so long?
Just meeting everybody. It's people are really nice. I mean, they really are. Especially when they hear what I do, first I get a real funny look. Then I explain to them, you know, what I do. And I have not had anybody be negative about it, believe it or not. I mean, maybe online, you know, you get the trolls that, you know, say you're crazy and stuff like that. But face-to-face, I have not had anybody at all give me, you know, a bad time about it. Most people, especially like actors that I talk to, like I told Will Ferrell who I was one time in L.A., and he looks and goes, dude, that's funny. He goes, I wish I'd have thought of that. And it was. I mean, I had a whole back page. Well, it's called Backstage West. It's like Variety magazine out in L.A. They do one in New York and then one out in L.A. I had a whole back page, you know, wrote about me. And I had so many people out in California going, dude, do you know what I would do to have that much publicity, you know? And here you are, a fat, bald guy in Columbus, Ohio, and you're getting a whole page in the trade publication. So, yeah, I have met almost everybody I've wanted to meet in Hollywood. I mean, I got asked to do, you know, autograph signings and like Fangoria horror, you know, conventions, kind of like Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. And I've got to meet, like, Debbie Reynolds and Mickey Rooney and Linda Blair and Rowdy Roddy Piper and Diamond Dallas Page and Hulk Hogan. And just to interact with those guys, you know, a lot of my people that I watch on TV, and here I'm standing next to them, like, just like them, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just been crazy for just a West Side, Lincoln Village, Columbus boy to even, you know, get that far. I just think it's amazing. It's been a dream come true, dude. I got to tell you.
Yeah, awesome.
It really has.
It's really cool and also just so unique. I doubt there's anybody else who has the filmography that you have. So.
Yeah, most people. I was so glad when I finally did the movie Thanksgiving. Now, you know, it was done just east of Columbus in Heath, Ohio. Have you ever heard of Thanksgiving?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was the first one I actually got to talk in.
Did you have like a...
Of course I die and the turkey takes my whole face, but I did get to talk in it.
Did you have multiple lines, or how much did you get to talk?
Oh, yeah. I'm the sheriff in that one, and it's... I think one of the funniest scenes ever, sitting at the table. The turkey is wearing a Groucho nose, you know, with the big nose and the glasses, and I think he is a little person that's a friend of my daughter's, and I'm wearing a turkey suit. So he's dressed as a human, and I'm dressed as a turkey, and we both sit there drinking tea like nothing's wrong.
And you said in that movie that you got attacked by a turkey for that movie, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ripped your face off?
Yep. You know, that movie, it was like number 3 on Netflix in the horror category when it came out, and now there's people, every Thanksgiving, they make it a point to watch the movie Thanksgiving. I get so many people, and it became a musical. It was off-Broadway in Seattle, Atlanta, Orlando. It was a crazy little horror movie, and they turned it into a musical.
Oh, I did not know that. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Are there any other dream roles that you want to play before you end up retiring? Or?
Oh, I do, man.
Yeah.
I want to be on Walking Dead so bad. And I'd love to be on Law & Order SVU or anything by the Asylum. You know, they do Z Nation and all the Sharknado movies.
Oh, okay.
Because I think they would just be hilarious to do.
Yeah, that would be fun. And Walking Dead, obviously, is classic.
Oh, my God. I'm a huge Walking Dead fan, man.
So then after that, what's next for you? Just kind of enjoy, you know, retirement? Or?
Yep. Sit around and tell people what I used to be.
That's funny.
Bruce Springsteen, glory days.
Yeah. Alrighty, Chuck. Well, I got to wrap this up with you, but I really appreciate you taking some time with me this afternoon. It's been great talking.
Oh, my God, Eric, this has been a blast, dude. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know what? One thing I do tell a lot of people that I'm so proud of because I Dead Body Guy got me to be, I think, now I'm not positive, but I think I am the first person on national TV other than a football player to say the Ohio State University on national TV.
That's awesome.
It is to me. I'm a huge Buckeye fan.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
On the Today Show, when I was talking to Matt Lauer, I said, when I'm watching my The Ohio State University.
Yeah, that's great. That's really cool. And people here will love that.
Yeah. All right, dude.
Thank you, Chuck. You have a good one.
See you, buddy.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.